we're going to talk about trusting in relationships today. And I think trusting in relationships and trusting God is so vitally important in our lives. So you can pull out your announcement sheet there. There's a place there you can take some notes. And that's Steve Shop. He is going to be gone this week. He's going to be at a LifeLinks conference in Canada. And he'll be back later in the week. All right. Well, have you ever, you think about trusting people, you think, I don't know if I want to trust people. I'm not sure I trust people. How are people going to respond to me? And then I think when you're driving in a large city and you're on interstate, how much we really trust people? People we don't even know, people we'll never see again. Well, on interstate, sometimes I'll be side by side in the car, a car in front of me, probably falling too close. What that guy does is going to determine what I'm going to do. We're pretty trustworthy. Just see where we're driving, aren't we? It's like, it could be crazy driving to Chicago. You're trusting a lot of people around you that you don't even know, and you're not even sure about. So that's a way that we have to kind of, we're working at trust, but yet trust is all around us. We go to work, and we're trusting our other employees that they're going to do what they're supposed to do. We're trusting that when, people are going to obey the law and how that's going to work out and how they obey the law can affect my life. And so we really have to work at relationships and what our relationships are all about. So be careful when you're driving out there. You don't know who you're driving with and who's out there, but we have an opportunity then to write all kinds of different people and the world around us. So the big idea here today is sometimes it's hard to find trust in such an untrustworthy, disloyal world. It is important not to get hurt, but we also must learn to trust God. Trusting the Lord should be easy, but is it? It is important to build trust with people we love. Our family and our friends are far from perfect, and it challenges us to learn how to build trust in relationships. Thankfully, we can trust God. And so what I'm going to talk about here this morning is learning how to build a culture of trust. And isn't it true that a lot of times the relationships that we're in, we kind of struggle with people that are sometimes they're closest to us. And it's like, man, I wish that, I relate with people that sometimes it kind of weighs us down a little bit. And we can kind of feel a little kind of heavy with these different relationships that are happening that, people are that we are close to, it's like our parents and our children, they can kind of, those people, relationships are so valuable, yet sometimes those relationships can feel rather weighty. And it's interesting when you're building a culture of trust. Now, I have 5 boys and 1 girl. 3 of them are married now. And it's very interesting now as you raise your children when they're teenagers and all of a sudden they get to be adults. And it's interesting that my 25-year-old Jeremy was riding with Jordan the other day, and he was telling Jordan that we're dumb and mom and dad are smart. Now, I thought that was profound. I thought that was actually amazing that he said that. Man, have times have changed. But I tell you what, that was really refreshing. It was very refreshing. I thought, wow, to have that kind of input on my son at that age, with my 16-year-old, that wow, I've gotten pretty smart all of a sudden, and I don't even know how that happened. But all of a sudden, I'm a little smarter and a little bit heavier right now. All right. So we're going to talk about, relationships and how we feel. And sometimes in our lives, we can feel like that we get burned in a relationship. And sometimes when relationships don't go very well, we get burned and we feel like, how can I ever trust God again? How can I carry these wounds? And then all of a sudden, things get really heavy in life. And so you're carrying things around, and so I don't want to get hurt anymore. So I put these protective barriers up. Put these barriers up because I don't want anybody to come in. I don't want anybody to come in and hurt me. And so when I put those barriers up, then it's very difficult for me to give and be able to receive love, isn't it? Why have those barriers up? And so we have to learn, how do I deal with this when these relationships aren't going very well? And I don't know about you, but I'm an independent person. I like to be independent. I like to be in control. I like to, win my life and I like to make my own decisions. Well, that hasn't always gone very well. We like to be in control, but, and I can trust myself, but that's part of the reason why we come to Christ, because we have to overcome the fact that we can't trust ourselves. We have to depend on God and what He wants to do in our lives. I want to talk about Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, this morning. Jeremiah, I want to talk about his relationships that he had with people, and also his relationship that he had with God. And it's very important that we learn what he has to share with us. Jeremiah, just a significant man, probably the greatest prophets, maybe the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. And yet Jeremiah, he's a great prophet. What a great man. He had ministry for over 40 years. Started prophesying when he was 17 years old. And he has this great call of God in his life. And he has this great amount of courage. He's very courageous. And God puts his hand on Jeremiah's life. And he gives him a situation that's pretty difficult. Because Jeremiah sees it as called to this crumbling nation of Israel. And Jeremiah was sent to the southern kingdom with the tribes of Benjamin and with Judah. And because God was continually repeating or warning Israel to stop this idolatrous behavior that they were in. So here he is. He gets to have this fantastic call of getting to go and talking with these people and getting to relate with these people. And it was difficult for Jeremiah, because with Jeremiah, the people didn't want to listen. They really didn't want to receive what he had to say. And he became disappointed with the response of God's people. And he began to doubt and struggle in his relationship with God and his people. So sometimes God calls us to a difficult task. It's not always easier. Because the message that Jeremiah was delivering to the people of Judah, it was not popular. And many times the message that we have, the gospel message, isn't always popular with the people that we're around. When you go out in the world and your job, my job is pretty popular where I'm at. But with the jobs that we go out to, we interact in the world, the gospel message isn't always popular. And, the people at that time in Judah were pretty independent. They kind of wanted to do what they wanted to do. And they didn't want to hear about God's judgment falling upon them. But Jeremiah knew the task that was before him. And he had a very clear message that God had given him to share with them. So Jeremiah has questions. Why aren't these people responding to me? Why aren't they, doing what I'm asked to tell them to do? I'm telling them the truth. Why are they not, And so the people are not responding to Jeremiah. And what's he going to do about it? Finally, he goes to God with this. And so I want to read here in Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Because Jeremiah needs more understanding. And often in our relationships, or even our relationship with God, we need more understanding. God, are you really there? Are you really out there? Are you really working in this situation? What are you doing? I don't understand. Let's read here in verses 1 through 6. But Jeremiah's how he questions the Lord's justice. He begins to make a comparison here between the wicked people and the people of God that have the truth within them. He says, Lord, you always give me justice when I bring a case before you. So let me bring you a complaint. Why are the wicked so prosperous? Why are evil people so happy? You planted them, and they have taken root and prospered. Your name is on their lips, but you are far from their hearts. But as for me, Lord, you know my heart. You see me and test my thoughts. Drag these people away like sheep to be butchered. Set them aside to be slaughtered. How long must this land mourn? Even the fields have withered. The wild animals and birds have disappeared because of the evil in the land. For the people have said, the Lord doesn't see what's ahead for us. Wow. I call that a struggle. Would you call that a struggle? That maybe things aren't all together here? That maybe he's not quite sure what God, or where are you? What are you doing? What do you want to do in my life? I'm struggling in my relationship with you. I'm struggling in the relationship with the people that are around me. It seems like the wicked are out there. It seems like they're getting their way. They're having a great amount of fun. They're enjoying themselves. What about, you know, me? What about the truth? So it makes this comparison here. And so the Lord wants to help Jeremiah, just like the Lord wants to help you and me. And he wants to help us in our relationship, especially when we don't understand. Because I don't know about you, but the older I get, sometimes I think the less I understand. But God has a purpose and a plan, and his ways are higher than our ways. It says there in verse 5, this is the Lord's reply to Jeremiah, if racing against me, a mere man, makes you tired, how will you race against horses? If you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do in the thickets near the Jordan? Even your brothers and members of your own family have turned against you. They plot and raise complaints against you. Do not trust them, no matter how pleasantly they speak. Wow. You know, many people thought that Jeremiah's predictions were going to come true. But now, you know, even Jeremiah's family has turned against him. Well, isn't it great to be serving the ministry? You know, isn't it great? You know, I'm out here and doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and now my family even doesn't like what's going on around me. But you know what the Lord's saying here? Saying, you know what? He's saying that his troubles will increase. Wow. Well, that's exciting, being a believer. Our troubles are going to increase. Woo-hoo! Are we excited? You know? Yeah! Exciting troubles ahead of us. You know, but I think God was calling Jeremiah to a higher purpose. He had a bigger plan for his people. The goal was to see the people repent and come to Christ and come to him. And we can't sometimes control the response of other people. But Jeremiah is called here to trust God, even though his troubles will increase. I don't like to talk about troubles increasing. I really don't. But what I like about Jeremiah here is he's talking to God. He's on his knees before God. He's crying out to God in this awful pain and despair. And even though he can't understand, even though it feels like his messages are a failure, and even though it seems like that God himself maybe doesn't even care about his messages, you know what? That Jeremiah, I like that he's authentic and he's real. And he's this loyal man. And in this powerful struggle with his enemies. And when he talked with God, when he had talked with God, he could speak to the people in a way that he had authority. And God had given him that clear message. And he could get those clear messages from God, and he could give that without fear. But we'll talk about some of the things that Jeremiah went through that surely we never struggle with doubt, do we? Maybe I'm the only one here this morning, but I struggle sometimes with doubt. Okay? And so I have a lot to learn here from Jeremiah. And you know what? Sometimes it got so bad, it's like, why God? Why God me? Why? If you ever ask that question, why God? Why God me? Why would I go into this plant situation? And so let's look here at Jeremiah 20, verses 7 and 8. Doesn't get much better for Jeremiah. It says, oh Lord, you misled me. Allow myself to be misled. You are stronger than I am, and you have overpowered me. And now I'm mocked every day. Everyone laughs at me. When I speak, the words burst out. Violence and destruction, I shout. So these messages from the Lord have made me a household joke. That's the other translation. All right. Wow. But, you know, think about people mocking him. It doesn't feel very good. It's like, God, have you really called me to this situation? You know, and they said, well, maybe God, you overly persuaded me. when you sent me to this place to deliver these messages. And Jeremiah feels like maybe God is maybe asking too much of him. And do we ever feel like that? God, are you asking too much of me? I think sometimes we don't, maybe God wants us to raise the bar to us, for us to raise the standard in our life and to realize that, no, God is not asking too much of us. We're his children. We're his people. And it's okay that he's calling us. He's asking us and calling us to a higher level of living. You know, Jeremiah has struggled with the sovereignty of God. He never doubted that God was real, but at times he seemed to doubt that sovereignty of God. And, you know, we've been called to a higher purpose in our lives. That's what I like about Romans 8:28. For we know that all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Do we really believe that? That we've been called according to his purpose? See, Jeremiah was called to his purpose. He was called to the purpose, in a very specific purpose that he had for him. So God often has a purpose that's for our lives that's greater than ours. And so do we believe this? Do we doubt the sovereignty of God? Do we know that we've been called to that greater purpose? So often sometimes we go through doubt, then we face disappointment. And there's this threat of captivity that are on the people here of Judah. And it's like, why will these people not respond? Why will they not humble themselves? Jeremiah knows that these people need to humble themselves. In Jeremiah 13:15-16, it says, listen and pay attention. Do not be arrogant, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before it's too late. Acknowledge him before he brings darkness upon you, causing you to stumble and fall on the darkening mountains. For then you'll look for light, and you'll find only terrible darkness and gloom. You know, and I think, you know, God, what do you want to do? Here he is saying, you know, pay attention to what's going on around here. You know what? God has spoken. God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Look for the light. There's light all around us that we can look for. But what the question is, what can be done in the relationship that you're facing right now? Maybe you're facing a difficult relationship within your family. What can be done? What can we do? What can we accomplish? How can we work on this relationship to improve it? We're going to talk more about that here in a little bit. You know, because sometimes we think, okay, is my relationship with God, am I just a complete failure? And he would have been so happy if the people just would have returned to the Lord. But it didn't happen. So God, why? And I think there's an important lesson here for us that I think that we need to learn. That God wants us to be loyal followers. And we must be loyal and continue the work of Christ no matter what happens. Now, I was thinking about this. I was looking at this passage of Scripture. So we are results driven. If I don't get results here, I want to move on to something else. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to stay the course on what we're on. And so if I don't see, like, I want to split, I'm out of here if I don't see the results. Because we say it's too hard. I want results. And we want results right now. You know, the thing about, you know, at work release, we've seen many, many guys, you know, several years ago, lots of people more involved at work release that were really coming to Christ, wanting to know Christ, and then our numbers went down. And then it kind of like it really bottomed out. It's like, okay, God, what are you doing here? And now our numbers are back up. And, you know, we can't always be numbers driven. You know, the thing is, are we going to, and what I've learned about like going to work release and just being with the guys there is that, okay, if I'm supposed to be here, be faithful. Be faithful and let God produce the results. Because I can't control the results. But sometimes God wants to send you and me out in a dark world where it's really dark out there. And we're not always sure what the results are going to be. So I think we have to be very careful that we're not result-driven people. It's nice to have results, but that's not, God wants to manifest something else that's very important. And that's, he wants to do the work in the people. But will we be faithful in the call that God has for, and the work for the God has for us to do? If we're not careful, then we can bitterness and resentment. And that often follows disappointment. We become resentful people. And maybe God's not working the way that you hoped or planned. So then we become resentful. It's like, okay, God, what are you doing here? And so then because we haven't really dealt with it, and really haven't understood that we need to continue to be faithful and keep keeping our heart right, we enter that resentment. And then we can really go from there, we can enter into self-pity. Aren't you excited about this? Is like really encouraged. You're really encouraged this morning? I was really encouraged, but all right. It's going to get better. Right. You know, in Jeremiah 15, 17 through 18, it says, I never joined the people in their merry feasts. I sat alone because your hand was on me. I was filled with indignation at their sins. Why then does my suffering continue? Why is my wound so incurable? Your help seems as uncertain as a seasonal brook, like a spring that has gone dry. He felt miserable. Felt like nobody cared about him. Didn't feel like God cared about him. Didn't feel like, people cared about him. He's very, very lonely. That's the reason we need the support of other people. I need the support of other people in my life. I need people around me that are going to encourage me. And Jeremiah just needed a ton of encouragement from God, people around him. But all he could see is what was in front of him. He could have a difficult time seeing the greater purpose. It's interesting that Jeremiah was known as a weeping prophet. He spent a lot of time on his knees crying out to God. Now I'm wondering if we'll take time when we're kind of desperate and we're lonely, really at a tough place that we're at, we'll take the time to cry out to God. Or are we just going to keep walls built up and say, I'm not going to God in, I don't want people in. It's too painful to go here. But I think God wants to challenge us that we don't have to stay in that lonely place. We don't have to stay there. And God wants to really, he really does want to help us. I think we need to allow God to examine our lives. And in Jeremiah 15:20, it says, they will fight against you like an attacking army, but I'll make you as secure as a fortified wall of bronze. They will not conquer you, for I am with you to protect and rescue you. I, the Lord, have spoken. God has some great words for Jeremiah. He really wants to encourage him. He's going to make him as secure as a fortified wall. I think that's what God wants to do for us. He wants to make us as secure as a fortified wall. That when we don't see the results, things aren't happening the way we think they ought to be happening, that we can be secure. That God's the one, he's the one in control. He's the one that's going to move in these situations. He's the one that's going to help me with this relationship that I just can't seem to get past, or I cannot get resolved. God's the one who's going to do the work. But he wants to make you like a fortified wall. You know what? And think about a fortified wall. Things are going to come against a fortified wall, aren't they? But that wall's not going to be knocked down. It's going to be able to stand strong. I think we have to stand strong even when we don't see those results that we want to see. We can trust in the promises of God. And as I was thinking about this message here, I wonder if some of us haven't forgotten about the promises of God and what God wants to do in our lives. Because we haven't seen the results that we want to see in our lives. Things haven't quite worked out in relationships that we thought were supposed to work out. So it's like, okay, God, are you there? Do you really want to work in my life? Look, my life's kind of a mess right now. This didn't work out. That didn't work out. Now look where I'm at. So what was he supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? I think we need to remember God's promises from the past. God has spoken to so many of us here of what he wants to do and what he wants to accomplish in our lives. Have you forgotten? And have I forgotten the past promises of God? I think we need to not look at what's to look at what the things that Jeremiah experience the results. We need to look at what God wants to do. And, you know, there's been a lot of things spoken over our church, spoken over the transition, spoken over, like, being over a storehouse church. I think there's many promises that God still wants to fulfill in us as a church. They're there, and God wants to fulfill them. There's still things that God wants to fulfill in my individual life right now. I'm currently going back to school. In fact, this year I started going back and getting my master's degree in social work because I really feel like that I want to get better at working with people. I really feel like I have a lot to learn. So I want to continue to work in the areas that God wants me to work in because I want to get better at working in relationships, my own personal relationships with people in the church and just people in the community, people I interact with, people I come into contact with. I want to get better because I think it's a promise that God has made in my life and he wants to use me in the area of helping people. I want to get better at it. And I think God's spoken to me about that in my past, about working with people and becoming more of a shepherd to people. So I want to continue to learn how to be a shepherd because that's a promise of God that God has laid on my heart. And I want to see God's call and destiny fulfilled in my life. And God has a call and destiny in your life. He wants to work in your life. He wants to work in your heart. So I want to think about today, what are those past promises that are there that God's called you to that maybe you've forgotten about? Maybe it's like, okay, God, it didn't work out, did it? I really wonder what we're believing about those past promises, especially because that really affects our relationship with God. It affects our relationship with people around us. So I want to encourage you, don't forget your call. Don't forget your call. So what's God calling you to? What's he calling you to? That's the reason we need to recognize, too, that God is sovereign. God wants to work in our lives. He wants to prepare us for action. And he wants to, Jeremiah 1:17-19, get up and prepare for action. Well, I'll tell them everything I tell you to say. Do not be afraid of them, or I'll make you look like foolish. I'll make you look foolish in front of them. For you see today, I have made you strong, like that fortified city that cannot be captured, like an iron pillar or a bronze wall. You will stand against the whole land, the kings, the officials, priests, and the people of Judah. They will fight you, but they will fail. For I am with you, and I will take care of you. I, the Lord, have spoken. That's what he wants to do in you and in me. He wants us to fulfill our destiny with God, what he's spoken to us about, and our relationships to him, and our relationships with other people. God wants to fulfill that. Will you and me allow him to fulfill that destiny? Don't let those accusing thoughts and the lies that the enemy has to say to us hold us back from fulfilling what God wants to do. Recognize it. Don't turn your back on what God has spoken to you. It's very important that as we press on, that we press ahead, even though you may not see the results that you want to see. We need to recognize the sovereignty of God, because in Jeremiah 17:13, he says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who turn away from you will be disgraced. They will be buried in the dust of the earth, for they have abandoned the Lord, the fountain of living water. And you know what? Jeremiah has stopped believing and trusting God. But God says, you can start up again. You can start believing me because I am worthy. The Lord is a fresh supply of water. And sometimes we need a fresh supply of water as we relate with God, as we relate with other people, don't we? I need that and you need that. Are we getting that fresh supply of water that we need? I want that. And I hope that you want that. Because God is like that supply of water. I'm about thirsty right now. Kind of need a drink of water. I've been talking. But you know what? During the summer, when it's like you want a drink of water, it's hot outside, he wants to give you a drink of water. He wants to fulfill your thirst that you have for him. So there's some steps of relationship that I want to talk about here. And I really think it's important that we learn to take personal responsibility. And because we have a lot of hope. We have a lot of hope. And we don't have to turn away from him. We're not going to be disgraced, people. We're not going to be disgraced. And we have such a great destiny, a great future ahead of us as a church, as a people. And this is what in Galatians 6, 4 through 5, it says here, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. We're going to, each one of us is going to give an account for how what we did with our load, with the load that Christ gave us. So what are we doing with that? What are we doing there? Well, I think there's areas that cause relationships to struggle, relationships that make them also thrive. And the first one is connection. How are you doing in your relationship people with connection? Are you connecting people? Are you struggling in a relationship? You know, with my children, one of the things I've tried to do, worked really hard at, is trying to win the relationship. Trying to build connection with them. Trying to be involved with their lives. Trying to have an influence with them. With my daughter, she was very interested in horses. And so bought this horse. And what a horse. But you know what? That was the way that we connected. And we built a relationship with each other. Trying to find ways that we can build a relationship with one another. If you're in a marriage relationship with each other, there's a mutuality that God wants to bring in your relationship. And it's not one person doing all the initiating, and the other person just being a responder. That causes an imbalance in the relationship. The best relationships when both parties are sharing equally in initiative and vulnerability. Connection is about being willing to be vulnerable. It's really hard for us because I'd rather, have my arms folded here and keep carrying my weight around. I keep carrying my weight, and I don't want people to get in. And I want to be connected, but kind of only so far. So, how are we doing with vulnerability? And to have a good relationship, we have to have vulnerability. We have to be willing to be vulnerable. That's risky. If I talk about really what's going on in my life, that's risky. You can accept me, you can reject me. How's that person going to take that? I'd rather just keep myself protected. Another area that causes relationships to struggle or thrive is responsibility. How we impact each other. Am I dependable? Do I do what I say that I will do? And do I take the responsibility and the other person does not claim any wrongdoing at all? That's difficult when somebody doesn't want to claim any wrongdoing. I have to claim all the responsibility? Come on here. But you know what? We can do our part. You and I, we can do our part. We can do our part in that relationship. The next one here is freedom. And, I think having freedom in relationships are really important. And freedom is when you have two people that allow each other to have their own opinions, choices, and their values. And, I have to admit, when I first got married, I thought my wife was going to spend all the money, and I was going to keep it all. And come to find out, I was the one who wanted to spend it all. She was the one who wanted to keep it all. And I had nothing to worry about. But I was worried about what was going to happen because I wanted to control things, and there wasn't a lot of freedom. Now I tell her, just go buy whatever you want to buy. Because I know she's going to, I just know how she's going to spend money. So it's like it's, we have this, she has the freedom. She has choices because we've built a relationship together. And I know what her values are. I know what her choices are going to be. So she can have a lot of freedom. So we have a lot of freedom. I can watch Martin Hart's card, but we can have a lot of freedom in our relationships together. But God wants us to not have an imbalance. He wants us to be balanced so that we can have relationships that thrive. Sometimes it's hard that when you make a decision and you know that's going to probably cause a disagreement with another person. That's difficult because that's going to cause that harm to that relationship when you're not sure how much more freedom you're going to have in that relationship. But sometimes we have to be willing to experience freedom by willing to be vulnerable and go into that person so so we can experience freedom. I think it's important that we deepen these relationships and that we put on the armor of light. So it says that in Romans 13:12, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So how are you and I going to build trust with people? You know, and we think a lot about Jeremiah this week and the connection, responsibility, the freedom that was he was experiencing with God and also with the people around him. So how do we put on the armor of light? Are we going to avoid it? Are we going to take risk? Are we going to take initiative? Well, I want to encourage us, we need to show a need. Showing a need by taking risk. As going deeper, as talking about, is this relationship important to me? What do you desire to see happen in your relationships with people? What would you like to see happen? Are you willing to share your values and be authentic and share your hopes for the relationship that you'd like to see improved? Are you willing to share your emotions and how this relationship has been difficult and how it's affected you? And it's okay to establish some ground rules. Maybe you have to limit the contact and talk about how we're going to communicate and how we're going to work with the relationship. Are you willing to share your past? You know, what's happened that's happened to me and how the pain that we've gone through and how we're going to try to work at resolving this conflict and this pain. So, how far can a relationship go? Well, in Ephesians 3:20-21, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. He wants to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think in our relationships. And sometimes we limit God, we limit him. God, you don't want to do this much in this relationship. And we stop right there. I think we need to ask God, what do you want to do? And think a little bit higher. Think on higher ground. God, what do you want to do right here and right now? God's the only one we can trust. No matter what, we know we can trust God. And he wants to continue to help us to build that trust with people. The more you're closer to him, the more you can trust him, the more that you can just allow God to work in your lives. Maybe we need to ask God how I'm going to respond to this relationship. We need to ask him how I'm going to respond to that. I think we need to develop a stronger support system around us. And we need to ask God to really work within that support system and really help me to find people around me that are going to encourage me. We need to let go of the shame. You know what? There's no shame. And talking about a need, a problem, a hurt, a failure, Jeremiah had them. Yeah, but he struggled with God, his relationship with God. He also struggled with the people around him. And yet he's known as the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. But he was a man that was loyal and he was faithful to the call of God until the end. Then we need to be able to unload the weight that we're carrying. And we need to give that to God. So this morning, I'm pretty happy that I'm going to be able to unload my weight. Well, I'd rather feel lighter. You know, I got some breaks in my life that I'm wanting to continue to work on relationships. One of them is family. My family is really important to me. Not everything's perfect in my family. I wish some things were different, but I'm believing God. I'm continuing to work on relationships. And with my kids and my grandkids, I really want to see them grow up and follow God. And so it's a relationship that I've been carrying that I can't always fix. I'd like to be able to fix it, but I can't. So I can give God that brick. It's kind of nice. And what else we got in here? We just took all these bricks. Oh, there's another one. Oh, man. Another one I couldn't find it even. One of them is the church transition. You know, one of the things we're learning through church transition is we're going to learn how to trust leaders and trust a new leader. And I'm going to be working with this person, and so I'm going to be affected by that. And so it's going to be an opportunity for me to trust God, and I'm not sure how that's all going to play out in my life, but I'm trusting God. I know that God's going to work in me, but it's kind of nice, you know, I don't have to carry this. I give this to God. And then friends, you know, I like people a lot. I like to be with people. I enjoy hanging out with people, but I've lost some friends that I really wish I still had. And not sure how that can all be restored, but it's something I'd really like to have some old friends restored into my life. And I know that trusting God and the sovereignty of God, that He's going to work in that. And I know that I can trust God with that. And just wondering how He'll do that. But I can't carry that. You know, I'm saying, God, You help me. It's got to be by the power of the Holy Spirit working in a situation. I really believe in God for that. So I'd love to see that happen. But I don't have to carry that either. It's God's. And you know what? This backpack's going to feel a lot lighter now. Literally a lot lighter. A lot lighter now because, you know what? I got rid of some things today that were kind of bogging me down or kind of holding me back. Maybe today you have some things with some relationships that you're believing God for. Maybe you have some bricks that you need to unload. Maybe you have some bricks that you need to say, God, I give this back to You. Now, I'll give you that opportunity here if it's a worship band that leads in this song, Lord, I need You. Need You in this relationship. And so I want to give you an opportunity to stay there and come forward and you can unload your bricks that you're carrying. So I just want to give you that opportunity. Go ahead. Challenge it. Unload it. Feels a lot better. You don't have to carry that weight around any longer. Give it to God. Let it be His. Amen.